Our Father, we do thank you for your presence in the Holy Spirit this day. We pray, O Lord, you would anoint my lips that I may speak of Jesus Christ in such a way that others may see him and enjoy him and see his beauty. We are, of all people in the face of the earth, the most blessed because we have your word. Give us, O Lord, ears to hear and truly eyes to see the beauty of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I would ask that you turn to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. As we think of this book, it is certainly a book of symbols. It is a book that shows to us, as no other book really, in one sense, the beauty and glory and power of Jesus Christ. Yes, his love, his holiness, and his power are shown to us in this book. We read in Revelation chapter 1, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Verse 10, we read, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And then what we have before us in these next few verses is what is really one of the most amazing descriptions in all of Scripture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the word of God, this vision. John writes, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. And certainly there is Christ among his churches, and it says, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were like wool, white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. What an amazing description we have here. Certainly one of the most amazing descriptions we have in all of the Bible, and what I believe is what we need to have, a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've entitled the message, Seeing the Beauty of Christ with 2020 Vision. There is before us this which is so important, to see Christ in this new year. First, just a look for a moment at how the natural eye wants to see, and then to see how this enlightening of the eyes comes, that we would really truly see Jesus in all his beauty. And then finally, just a few words to all of our hearts of how we are to see him in this new year. As you look at this passage of Scripture, certainly there's before you, look with me there, and you ask the question, what does he look like? And there's a description of his clothes, his head, his hair, his eyes, his face, his feet, his voice, his hands. And if you took this literally, and we had someone here could draw a picture of this, it would be a monster. What a strange looking creature. Sword coming out of his mouth and feet and all that's involved with this picture of him. Certainly here's symbols that are very different than what we would call a photographic picture. We live in a time that's very much into appearances. We live in a time with the invention back a ways of photography and then television and then a thing called Facebook and all kinds of other things of selfies and what we would call the PowerPoints that are just part of seeing everything visually. And yet we don't have that really of Jesus. Though we have all this that's given to us of what we might have to say of his having the description, something of his clothes, head, hair, eyes, face, feet, voice, hands, all of this that's in the passage of Scripture here, it's not a photograph. It's not with the purpose that we could tell the color of his eyes or the color of his hair or his skin. It's something very different, much deeper. Isn't there something of those words that echo down through the centuries? Jesus spoke with such important words for us. Stop judging by mere appearances. We long to see things exactly in this way, a photograph. There's a sense in which we are driven in our culture with the image. And yet, God's Word drives us to a deeper seeing. I think it may be very significant. What do you think that we're never given a photographic description of Jesus? We're given a description here, but it's not like a photograph. It's something very different. He chose not to give us those things that would be like an image that we would be desiring so much to glory in or be like. Speculation. There are people who have studied these things greatly and spent whole books and time and reading through these things. Fascinating. They've even taken from archaeological things, digs and the skulls of Jews during this time and done measurements and carefulness, and they'd say his skull was this size and this was the background and color maybe. And working with all these things they come up with, well, he wasn't a white and shiny kind of guy. He wasn't black and beautiful kind of guy. He was something in between, and they work with all this speculation. But I think there is a reason that God has not given us that we have something here. Yes, I think we can maybe posit forward that he's not as black as Africa, and he's not a white, blue-eyed, shiny guy either. There was something maybe of olive skin and dark, curly hair that was part of that people at that time, yes. But there's something here that's much deeper. There's a silence concerning this, his outward appearance. It tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Something deeper than the outward appearances. Grace and truth was there. So as we look at this description, certainly there's something there that we know of something of that horror of crucifixion, yes, of the scars of his hands and his side, or we have the background of the Old Testament telling us that he, because of the beatings and floggings, and they're pulling out his beard, that his face was more marred than the face of any man. There was something of suffering that was horrendous. But I believe what we have here, that he, yes, as the Scripture says, was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness, describes him in his crucifixion, his going to the cross. What did he look like? We don't know. But I think there's something interesting. Think with me just for a moment. Here are the soldiers. Finally, they're going to go to arrest him. And when they get there, he says, "Who are you looking for?" They don't recognize him. And there had been that signal planned beforehand that Judas, what was he to do? He was to go and kiss the one. And he said, "Arrest that one I kiss." There was something there that even his appearance, he was like one of them. One of us. there was something of an identity with them. He wasn't somehow or another 7 foot tall and shining with some kind of special hair or something. He was one of them. So the natural eye would look for something that would be spectacular, but you know, he was one of them. I think there's instruction here that the Word was made flesh and was one of us. Secondly, I think it's important for us to realize, as Scripture speaks of the enlightening of the eye, the enlightening of the eyes of the heart, that we would see Him much deeper than some drawing would make, or even a photograph would make of Him. If we had a photograph, we would have people all trying to have the same hairstyle and the same clothes and everything else that would just kind of make up, there's what a Christian looks like. And we wouldn't be listening to "stop judging with outward appearances," those words that echo to us down through the centuries. We need to hear those words constantly. Now, with the eyes of the heart, what should we see with 20/20 vision, with eyes of the heart, when we look at this vision of the Lord Jesus Christ? Here is something that's very important. In a sense, when we look back at the cross, it was the worst of times. The horror of His crucifixion, just to think of His being so marred, and His face, His visage was beyond that of men. But at the same time, we look back and we see Him and we know it was the best of times, because we know He died in our place. He suffered in our place for us, for our sins. It's real, His suffering for us. And yet, our passage, as you go through this passage, it's a passage that takes us beyond what we just celebrated was the incarnation, Christmas. What a joyful time. The baby in the manger, the one who held the worlds together, was there dependent upon Mary. Or we come just now from being at the Lord's table and we remember the crucifixion of Christ. But our passage goes beyond the baby. It goes beyond the one on the cross. It speaks of one who is now exalted to the Father's right hand. It gives us a vision for a people who are in exile. Remember, John is in that Isle of Patmos in exile. He's under persecution. He's there for the Word of God, that testimony that He gave. The Church of Jesus Christ, we are in a certain sense constantly under those trials. Great tribulation the Church is under constantly. And we need this vision that's more than a baby in a manger, more even than Christ on the cross. Yes, He is now enthroned at His Father's right hand. This very passage echoes to us something from Daniel. Certainly a number of places in reading through the book of Daniel again, I could find a number of places where he is being spoken of there in this very passage. But Daniel chapter 7, it has what we see here, the ascension of Christ. Daniel 7, verse 13, "In my vision at night," this vision that Daniel had under the reign of Belshazzar, we have these words, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into His presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Certainly, Jesus comes to the Ancient of Days. And you remember, just before His ascension, He says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He is ascended to the Father's right hand. He is the Lord enthroned at the Father's right hand. Yes, He has finished His work as a priest, offering up Himself for our sins on the cross here on earth. But He continues as the forever high priest. He is, with all authority, Lord over all. It's good news. Do we need that kind of picture of the Lord enthroned this morning? As we think maybe we're at a place on the edge of war with Iran or Iraq or what may happen next, terrorists and all kinds of things, a world of chaos. And yet as Christians we know He is upon His throne. He is the Lord. He is the King. He is the Lord. And we should be praying, Lord, give us this vision of who He is, the enthroned King, Lord Jesus Christ. There is before us, I believe, something of great importance here of giving us a picture of the beauty of Jesus in this passage. And I would point out to you very briefly three points of light that are given here. And it is that as we are Christians, we are to be alive to the beauty of Christ. That will give us the vision we need for every day, no matter if we're lonely, suffering, disappointments, problems, whatever it may be, we need this vision of Christ every day. First, I would have you notice how He is dressed. For us, this description of beauty is so important. To see that He is beautiful as our priest who loves us. Notice that He has this robe all the way down to His feet. He has this sash across Him. He is dressed in the sense as a priest. He is that priest who is the forever high priest. As we said, the work as a priest of offering Himself up on the cross for our sins, He completed once for all. But He ever lives to make intercession for us right now at the Father's right hand. Revelation 1:5 has an interesting expression to it. It speaks of how Christ is the one who has not just loved us, but who loves us, present tense, and has freed us from our sins. The older translations have it with that He loved us and freed us. But we need to see that He continues now, present tense, loving us. And as a priest, interceding for us, caring for us in all of our circumstances. You see the beauty of His loving us always, forever, every day, caring for us. His beauty is that He loves us. A second point of light is there before us, and that Jesus is beautiful in burning holiness. Notice verses 13 and 14. He speaks there as the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to His feet and with a golden sash around His chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And His eyes were like blazing fire. And then it speaks in the last part of the passage, His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. There's a purity about Jesus. Part of His beauty is His purity, His holiness. There is in Jesus this beauty of holiness. He is not some model that goes down a runway and people say, wow, wow. Or He's not an athlete who's standing before people, hey, look at me. No, there's something much deeper in all of this. It's not just outward appearances. He is the one who in a very beautiful way has that holiness that is genuine and real from His heart of hearts. He came and did the Father's will perfectly. He loves the Father, and His love is real to us. His head and His hair, white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes like blazing fire. His face shining like the brilliance of the sun itself. It's representing to us His holiness, His beauty, the brightness of God's holiness. It truly is a holy gospel, a holy making gospel for us as we see Him and His beauty and enjoy Him. You know, sometimes it's interesting that some of the old authors, we think of them as very much into the wrath of God. And especially we think of Jonathan Edwards, you know, the great sermon he preached. Jonathan Edwards preached the sermon, I think it's 1734, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And the sermon almost becomes who he is, you know. But if you read through his works, and by the way, there's something like 26 volumes now of his works, he's obsessed not with the terribleness of God, but with the beauty of Christ. There is that awe and wonder and glory of Christ in his writings. He even writes of how seeing God is not so much that his terribleness would be something that would be too much for us, but rather his beauty would be so great that a frail creature like we are would not be able to contain the joy. He would be so awe-inspiring to us. He is the beautiful Savior. And then to notice Jesus is beautiful in His almighty power. He holds the seven stars. And hopefully you don't somehow never say, I want to be literal in everything. It's not that He could hold seven stars. But those stars are those who bring the Word of God to His people. This church, He holds His church in His hand. He cares for His people. We are His, and truly we belong to Him, and He will care for us in a very real way. It says, in His right hand He held the seven stars. It says He holds the keys of death and hell. Not somehow or another He's holding some big key, but He is the one who holds all these things. You and me, brother. He holds the whole world in His hands. He is the one we can look to and see the beauty of His power. The last words of this vision that are before us, John says in verse 17, when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as though dead. Then He placed His right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. 2020. How are we to see Him this year? We need that 2020 vision of the Holy Spirit for us to have understanding of who He is. If we trust in those celebrities that we see all about us, if we trust in those great athletes that are all about us, the rock singers will be like them, the psalmist says. Those that trust them will be like them, the psalmist says. But trusting in Him, we are beautified. Looking to Him, we become like Him. Enjoying Him, we are, as Edwards uses the expression kind of strangely, we are happified. We are beautified because we behold Him and it does something to us. Our prayer is that our hearts would be enlightened by the Holy Spirit, the eyes of our hearts in this year. A Christian is one who participates in Christ, and he's beautified because he does that. What is a Christian? Oh, I think we have to confess we're little, we're frail, we're morally unstable, all of us. But we look to Jesus Christ and we see his beauty and we enjoy him and we follow him. That's a Christian. That's a Christian. He enjoys Christ. And so we need to have those eyes to see and love him every day of 2020. That's real. We sang earlier this hymn, and I would say it has been something of great blessing over this last year. Someone has made a beautiful frame with this in it. That frame that we should pray, or that stanza that we sang earlier, we should pray together constantly. And I would ask you to pray with me. If you're a Christian or you're a non-Christian, these words, no list of sins I have not done, no list of virtues I pursue, no list of those I am not like, can earn myself a place with you. Oh God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner through and through. My only hope of righteousness is not in me, but only in you. There is the place that our vision needs to be. And it's not only somewhere off in the distance, but seeing Jesus here is to be like him now. For all who see him now, there'll be a day coming, as John says, dear friends, now we are children of God. And then he says, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Holy living for Christians has to do with seeing him. As John then says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So I say to you, 2020, if you're alone, if you're afraid, if you're struggling with health problems, if you find yourself guilty, fearful, wherever it may be, there is a vision you need that all of us need. And that's the vision of the enthroned Christ in all his beauty. Let us pray. Our Father, that is our prayer, that we would be able to have the enlightening of our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, that we would truly see the Lord Jesus Christ daily. Not just as a baby or even his death on the cross, but we would see that he is the one who truly loves us, interceding for us, truly the one who is, yes, holy, holy, holy. And our great comfort is that he is able to hold us in his hand and care for us every day. We believe, O Lord, that unless you will build our lives, build our homes, build our children, build our families, build our businesses, build our daily lives with this vision of Christ, all else is vain. We do believe that even our obedience, our reading our Bibles, our membership in church are all these things without truly seeing and believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ can even be damning as self-righteousness. So we pray, O Lord, you would give us a vision of Christ and of his righteousness and his beauty as our true Lord and Savior in the year 2020. Bless us now, we pray, as we would sing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.